We're continuing our series this year on fearless faith, and I felt led a year ago when I laid out the schedule that we would need to take one Sunday and talk about courage to face death. You might think, oh man, what a bummer of a sermon, man. Oh man, Pastor Phil, can't you do something a little lighter? Well, I probably could, but you know, this is a subject that all of us need to grapple with at some time. Cheryl Gregg on the piano today. Her mom passed away of cancer this summer. Her dad passed away a little while ago. Chuck Watson just shared with me that his sister-in-law passed away this morning. In fact, I'm just going to have a quick survey. How many of you in your immediate family or close friends or people that were important to you, you experienced death sometime this last 12 months? Raise your hand. Okay. I personally have had one of those years. I've had 15 funerals this year, just starting in January up to now. But did you know that as a Christ follower, we have the hope of glory? Did you know that? And we do not have to see death as a defeat or as the end. We have a message that Christianity can speak into this world full of death and say there is a perspective, there is a way of looking at death that can indeed transform the way you live even today. You might think, well, why do I have to talk about death today? Well, what I have learned is if you understand the hope of glory, it will transform the way you live now. Okay. And so let's look at God's word, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. The book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And then I'm going to jump over to Philippians 1, 19 through 26. And it's our tradition to stand. We read God's word, so please stand with me. Philippians 1, verse number 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Then over to verse 19. I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is, my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Father in heaven, we live in a world that is dying, and yet you give us words of hope today. May we trust in these words. Lord God, I pray if there's someone in this room that is struggling with grief, they're struggling with the fear of death, they're wondering what the purpose of life is all about, I pray your word would bring them hope and comfort today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. It's my privilege today to introduce to you Chuck Watson. Chuck has been a good friend for many years, part of the South Hills family. And what year was it when you learned you had cancer, Chuck?
It's February of 1999.
99. God got a hold of you spiritually in every way.
He did.
Yeah. And then you began to volunteer.
I did.
Where do you volunteer, Chuck?
Hospice.
Hospice, here in Kennewick.
Yes.
And what is the assignment you have at hospice?
It's varied, but when I started out, it was to provide respite for families. I'd be with the patients so the family could go do shopping, go to church, okay. Et cetera. But I'm called for a restless patient when they're in the hospice house and they're anxious and restless. called in to help calm.
Wow.
Also 11th hour, and that's for patients who don't have family with them who are actively dying, mm-hmm. and we sit with them as they die.
And how many years have you been doing that?
About 15.
15 years working with hospice.
Yes.
So, man, amen. Praise God. Wow. Okay, so Chuck, you've seen people in that dying process. And please, we're not trying in any way saying, you know, accept Jesus and you're going to have this simple thing that's going to happen to you. But the truth is, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is a difference in how you approach death. Okay. So, Chuck, tell me how that difference plays out in what you've seen.
Well, I became involved with hospice primarily because I was told I was going to die within a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
They told me the average for my stage and the aggressiveness of the cancer was 3 to 6 years.
And you're still here.
Been a little over 16. Yeah. But you can believe the diagnosis, but you don't have to believe the prognosis necessarily.
Amen.
But I did mm-hmm. in the beginning, and I was in a panic. And I believe that which you fear, you must face if you want to get a handle on the fear. Otherwise, the fear controls you. So I started reading books on death and dying. Didn't want to, but I was in a panic. I was in trouble. Read the books. The book Tuesday with Maury was one of them. And I remember a quote in there that Maury Schwartz said, who was dying from Lou Gehrig's disease. He says, you know, everybody knows they're going to die, but nobody believes it. Well, that hit me because that was me. This doesn't happen to me. It happens to somebody else,
yeah.
Not me. But boy, all of a sudden, my world was turned upside down.
It's a little bit like Woody Allen said, I don't mind the subject to death. I just don't want to be there when it
exactly.
happens.
Exactly. I hear. But then I eventually, my brother told me about hospice, and I didn't know about it. Thought it would freak me out, actually. I was frightened of becoming involved with that because I knew that most people would be dying from cancer, and I thought, man, this is just going to be a picture of me. I don't want to see that. But it wouldn't let me go. I fought it for a couple of months, even, and finally called, was trained. In fact, I asked if you ever had people who were trained who decide it's not for them, and they said, sure. So I said, oh, good. So I was trained. I thought, well, I'll try one patient and see what happens. And they assigned me to a person who was dying of cancer, of course. And I was assigned to go to his house to provide respite so his wife could go to church. He's an elder man, had been in the Battle of the Bulge in Germany, World War II vet. And he was bedridden, but he was very alert, very aware. And we had some great discussions. And I told him my circumstance, and I told him that I kind of wanted to learn from him what it's like, because I'm going to be there, I believed, within another couple of years. And so he shared what his thoughts were. And I've had several patients I've talked with now who I've been able to ask, what do you think about? Do you have any regrets? Do you wish you would have done other things? What do you wish you would have done differently? And they were, a lot of them, they were real willing to share. And what I found out was, in speaking to all these patients, was there's basically three things on their mind. These are tendencies. Number one is what's next. And those who find peace with Christ have an easier time. Because I've been with patients who don't have that. Some get mad if you even bring it up. They're much more anxious, much more restless. Pain is greater. Can't give them enough pain medication. There's even anxiety amongst the family. It's just more difficult, it tends to be. The second thing they think about a lot is their family. And they worry about whether their family will be okay. And if there's relationship issues, this is the greatest opportunity there is for healing. And I've seen some miraculous healing take place in the last days. Mm-hmm. The third thing is, what kind of a person was I? If the thing they regret the most is self-centeredness. They regret the years that they spent just trying to satisfy their self, self-reliance, etc. Money, the career, the position, the possessions. mean nothing. Mm. Absolutely nothing. Everything is about relationships. Mm.
So you had a couple of instances where you were there when they actually went into glory. What was that like?
My very first patient. I went about 5 weeks in a row to his house and sat with him, and he gradually got a little bit worse. And then on a Friday, I was at school. I was a principal of an elementary school, and the volunteer coordinator called me and said they brought him into the hospice house because he was actively dying. And so I stopped by there on the way home, and I was with him for about 45 minutes, and he was kind of restless, but he kept looking up in the upper corner of the room. And he kept reaching and reaching and muttering. And his wife said he hadn't said anything that she could understand for at least 5 days or so. Couldn't understand anything, but he was muttering. He wouldn't take his eyes off the corner of that room. And one time he tried to get up, but he still was looking up in the corner of the room. And then he settled down a little bit. And after he settled down, I left. About 10 o'clock on Saturday, his wife called me. And she said, "I just wanted you to know that he died about 2 o'clock this morning." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that." I said, "How are you doing?" And she said, "Oh, I'm doing wonderful." I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah." She said, "You know how he was when you were there and he kept looking in that corner of that room and kept reaching?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "After he settled down, I just assumed that he eventually quit breathing." And she said, "I was just reading the Bible and praying, and all of a sudden he called my name," her name. She said, "Just as clear as he'd ever said it." And I got up and I said, "What is it?" And he looked at me, she said, he said, "I love you. He's there. Jesus is there. It's beautiful. I'm going there." And he died within 5 minutes.
Mm. Amen.
And I thought,
that's cool.
That's what I needed.
Amen. Amen.
And that's why I think that's why God put me there.
That's right. You had one other instance, too, real quick, that you wanted to share.
Right. It's an elderly lady, again. Family wasn't available to be there. I was called in about midnight, and I was sitting with her, and they rolled her over because she'd been on one side for several hours, and so the attendants came, and they rolled her to her other side, and that kind of woke her up a little bit, and she started looking in the upper corner of the room, too.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, wow.
That's where Jesus hangs out, yeah. In the corner of the room.
I know she's seeing something, but I'm not seeing it, but she stared at that spot for about 20 minutes, and I had my hand under hers. And just was telling her that they're there, you're going to be okay, it's okay. And she took her hand off of mine, pulled her other hand out from under the covers, and right at the end, they don't have energy to do anything but try and take that next breath. But she took both arms up, and she reached up.
Wow.
And then within 5 or 10 minutes, she died, took her last breath.
That's cool.
Now, I look around when I go in those rooms, and she had a cross, and she had a Bible right there. I wasn't able to talk to her at all, but she had a faith. It was obvious.
That's so awesome. That she was, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing today, Chuck. You blessed us. Awesome.
You're welcome.
Give Chuck a hand. Thanks, Chuck. Wow. Now, what do I say here? Hallelujah. Praise God. So I'm going to give it to you real quick here this morning. What do we do when we're facing death? Or if you're with people that are facing death, or just having the right perspective of what death is all about. First of all, number one, this courage. You're going to have the courage to trust Him. Guess what? He loves you and He wants you to trust in Him. Verse 6 of Philippians 1. I am sure of this. A non-Christ follower cannot say these words. They have a lot of wishing and a lot of hoping. You ask somebody, it's a great discussion starter. You know, what is your thought about death? You know, how have you prepared yourself? And you will get a consistent answer. I've heard it over and over again. I hope I've been good enough. I hope it all works out. I hope that He smiles on me. And there is this unsure attitude. The Christ follower has absolute confidence. We have a settled conviction. That's what Paul says here. About what? That He who began a good work in you. You know, God loves you. And when you reached out in faith and put your faith in Christ, He began a good work in you. Do you know that actually that good work began before time? The Bible says before the foundation of the earth, he had you in mind. And he is going to start a good work in you, and he's going to finish it. I love that. John 10:28. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. 1 Peter 1:5. Who by God's power are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God, who begins a good work in you when you put your trust in Christ, will bring it to completion. Completion, the word, the idea of maturity or the full intent. Jude verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. God has this miracle moment for us that the sinner saved by grace can now be presented to a holy God. And we will not be ashamed, but there will be great joy because God is going to do a work in us and through us that will last for all eternity. It says to completion, which means to perfect or to fully complete. And so in this world, we have uncertainty. People are unsure of what's going to happen in the future. There is a great and growing insecurity. You think about your health. You think about finances. You think stock market is what I meant by the finances. Weather, friends, jobs, governments, house, cars. I bought a used car this summer, 25,000 miles on it, and the battery went bad. And I was jump starting all week long until I finally got a new battery yesterday. I'm thinking, come on. Why is this breaking down already? I just got it. Things of this world. Unfinished projects are normal. We don't know how to complete things in this world. The Cathedral of St. John the Divine in Manhattan, New York, began in 1892. It is still not finished. The people of that church have, with some degree of humor, renamed the church St. John the Unfinished. Because you can still go into rooms in that cathedral and it's still not done. They will get it done someday. I grew up in the Bay Area in California. The Winchester House has a great reputation in San Jose. Began 1884 and ended in 1922, the construction project. Got great fortune from the Winchester rifles. And the lady believed that the house was being haunted by the spirits of all the people that had died by the Winchester rifle. And so she believed she needed to keep building that house and to provide more rooms to keep the spirits happy. So it was kind of one of those unfinished projects. I found a castle in England that was unfinished. How would you like to live in this castle? Welcome to our home. Here's an umbrella. You'll need it. Indoors. So here's my confidence that I have with you. God is the one who finishes, okay? The Bible says in Philippians 1:6 that he's going to complete what he started in you at the day of Jesus Christ. There's some debate of what the day of Jesus Christ is all about. That word, the day of Jesus Christ, can be used for the rapture when Christ comes back, and he's coming back maybe today. Or it can also be used for the second coming of Christ. Or it could be used also for when you die. It's the day of Jesus, when you see Jesus. So let me just give you a summary of when God's going to complete his work in you. It's going to be when you see Jesus. That's the definition I want you to grab onto. When you see Jesus someday, God says, I've taken care of you from the very beginning. I will take care of you now, and I will finish what I started. You can have that confidence in him. Not in your ability, but it's in his ability. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Okay. So this is not about you somehow being good enough to get into heaven. This is about trusting in the promise of God. John MacArthur Jr. says in his commentary, when God saves, he saves completely and eternally. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you must understand his definition of that saving work is a complete work and an eternal work. Okay, so we have confidence as Christ followers. Some people might say we're arrogant. We are not arrogant. We humbly trust in the grace of Jesus Christ. But because of God's promises, We believe that God speaks truth. Okay. He does not lie. So God's power is up to the challenge. He can carry out this thing of transforming us from death into life. God is never surprised. There isn't a sickness or an accident or something that happens that goes, well, I didn't see that coming. God understands from beginning to end. God is never distracted. Sometimes people say, man, you can count on me. And I've had a few contractors that started a project, and I love them dearly, but they get distracted. And they, oh, I'll get back to your project when I have some time, because now they got something else that's more important. And you know what, that happens. And we sometimes lose our focus. I got permission from my wife. This is so funny. I know some of you will relate to this. Have you ever lost your phone? So my wife comes to me and she says, can I borrow your phone? I need to call myself so I can find my cell phone. Have you ever had this moment? So she's walking around the house and she's calling herself on my phone. So she's got my phone in her hand and she goes into this room and she hears her phone ringing, but she can't find it. So then she goes to the next room and she hears it ringing again. And then the next room. And then she realizes that her phone is in her back pocket. So everywhere she was going, the ring was following her. But she couldn't find it. Where is my phone? That's really funny. Now, I want to tell you, God not only has a plan for you, but He will never lose you. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? He will never forget your name. What's your name again? He will never forget His promises for you. As a Christ follower, I have courage facing death because I am choosing to trust in Him. Everybody understand that? Number two, you have courage facing death because you're going to make a choice to honor Him. You're going to say, as a Christ follower, whether I live or whether I die, my life belongs to Him. Okay? And when you come to that point in your life, where you're not holding on and grabbing on and trying to achieve, but you go, you know what? It all belongs to Him. Your life will change and your view of death will change. Philippians 1:20 says, with full courage, now as always, he says. In other words, Paul says, I look at my life, I look at my death, and I've got full courage. That's an interesting word there. It's not like, you know, half-hearted. It is an outstretched, the word is used for outstretched neck. In other words, I have great anticipation. I'm not wondering, I'm looking forward to something happening. This is what he believed. Verse 20, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. So it doesn't really matter. Either way, I've got one thing in my mind. I'm going to honor Him, whether I live to 100 or whether something happens that I did not expect. It's going to be about Him. Your life as a Christ follower, it is about Him. It is not about me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. Romans 12 says, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. So that's why Paul in verse 21 could say these words, for to me to live is Christ. Okay, I don't know what's going to happen. I just got this one thing in my mind. For to me to live is Christ. I'm going to honor Him no matter what happens. I can't speak for anybody else. You're here this morning. You can't speak for a relative. You can't speak for your spouse. You can't speak for your friends. But you can speak for yourself. For to me to live is Christ. Could you say that out loud with me? For to me to live is Christ. And that puts everything in perspective. Romans 14:8 says, for if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. Man, that just simplifies everything, doesn't it? Verse 22. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Okay, so God is not saying, come to Jesus and then commit suicide and then be done with this world. What He's saying is, come to Jesus and your life on this earth will have fruitful labor and you can anticipate heaven. Okay. God has a plan for us to be on this earth. I don't know how many times I've sat with somebody who is older or somebody who has cancer and it's just going on and on and on. And they're going, why am I still here? Acts 20, verse 24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. You guys might remember the story of Rick Warren's dad when he was dying, and what was on his lips? Four words to his son about why he was still here on this earth. I don't know if any of you remember these four words. One more for Jesus. I have another breath. It's time for one more for Jesus. I did a funeral a couple weeks ago for Mario, and the casket was right here. A lot of grieving. He's a very sweet man, follower of Christ. It was the first time I've ever had, I don't know if the young man is here today, but I want to tell him it's the first time it's ever happened in all the years as the pastor, where 10 feet from the casket, I had the privilege, because of the testimony of Mario's life, to lead this young man to Christ. So whether by life or by death, it comes down to one more for Jesus. Why are you still here? Because there's time for one more for Jesus. And so Paul in verse 25 says, I'm convinced of this, that I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. We're here together so we can encourage one another. We can help each other have more faith. Was not Chuck Watson's testimony a bolster to your faith today? The joy in our faith, the progress of my faith got stronger today because Chuck's story tells me that following Christ is worth it. So Jim Elliot said these words, God, I pray thee light these idle sticks of my life that I may burn for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus. One last thought I want to share with you, and that is you got to see something. You got to see him, and you got to see the glory that he has waiting for us. Stephen King, you know that name, they asked him, do you hope to go to heaven? He said, I don't want to go to the heaven that I learned about when I was a kid. To me, it seems boring. The idea that you're going to lounge around in a cloud all day and listen to guys play harps. I don't want to listen to harps. I want to listen to Jerry Lee Lewis. You know, we get these ideas of death, do we not? That just kind of are strange. So the Bible is very clear. Verse 21. To die is gain. Heaven. Quick summary. What are we going to know in heaven? We're going to experience the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? We don't have any concept of the glory of God. It is hidden. It is disguised. It is covered in our world of darkness so much. We see through a glass darkly. It's a shadowy kind of knowledge of the glory of God. When we go into heaven, the glory of God's going to go, here I am, complete, full exposure to all that God is. We will experience a new body. Anybody want to say amen? Turn to your neighbor and say amen. That's a good one. I like that one. At home with the Lord. Oh, I love that. At home with the Lord. At a place prepared for me by the Lord, to always be with Jesus, to be free of suffering, to be free of suffering. It should be free there. Daniel will fix that for the next service. They won't get the humor you guys had today. He's going to wipe away every tear, Revelation 21:4. Do you know how personal that is? Jesus himself will wipe away every tear. Death shall be no more. I mean, no more mourning, no crying, no pain, for the former things have passed away. We're going to walk streets of pure gold. Pretty cool. We're going to be free of Satan and sin's influence. Amen. Man, I can't wait for that. We're going to reign with Christ. We're going to have love and peace filling everyone at all time. So it says in verse 23, to depart and be with Christ, that is far better. As a Christ follower, we have no doubt about this. I love the word depart there. It means to loose anchor. It means to break camp It means to pack up. It means to close up shop. I love that. It's like, okay, I'm done with this world, and God has a better plan for me. Let me share a quick story as I finish. I know we're going to go over time today. John Piper shares a story. Okay, try to imagine two guys free falling in the air out of an airplane. They're flying. Pretty cool. I've never done it, but wow, what a rush. Okay. It is falling. It's so awesome. Now, let me tell you, there's one difference between the two. One has a parachute. One does not. Now, they both have the law of gravity that will take over the situation. But this one fact of the parachute now changes the experience. Both are slaves to gravity, but one has the victory over the gravity. Now, the person without the parachute has some choices. Denial works really well at this moment. I will continue to fly free and just not worry about the earth coming closer and closer. And there is an attitude in this world about death today that is free falling, and they're in denial. They don't care what the end product will be. And you can live that way, but I'm telling you, the end product is something you need to figure out. The second choice this person has without the parachute is fear. Maybe my good effort, my athletic ability will handle this. Maybe if I can land just a certain way, maybe if I can tuck and roll, I can manage it. But they're full of fear. The third choice they have, denial, fear. Third choice, find somebody with a parachute. And I want to tell you right now that Jesus Christ is the one who has victory over death. And I want to pray for you right now. Father in heaven, thank you for the power over death that you promised to your followers. Death is hurtful and painful and difficult. And there is a pain that we cannot describe when we lose a loved one. People in this room know this firsthand. But we, as Christ followers, will be confident of this very thing, that you have begun a good work in us, and the one that it begins a good work will indeed fulfill his promise. Lord God, you are one who finishes what you start, and we trust in you right now. Lord God, if there's someone in this room that is free falling through life, they have no way to figure out the end product. They know they're heading toward destruction. I pray right now they would call out to you, the Savior, the conqueror of death. Lord Jesus, you are our hope right now. In Jesus' name, amen.